Why have a trust as part of your estate plan? Again, think about it. A, you pass away, where's everything going? Most of you think that everything is going to be controlled by your last will and testament, but that's not really the case. There is a priority in the distribution statutes which say, by legal contract, those things take priority. What's one of those? Well, it's a life insurance beneficiary. So whoever you designate as your primary beneficiary in your life insurance is going to receive that. That's by contract with the insurance company. And the insurance company is not going to give one iota about whether you have a will or a trust or nothing, being passing away intestate. And therefore, they're going to pay that to the primary beneficiary if they survive. And if they don't survive, they're going to pay it to the contingent beneficiary. So you say, okay, I thought this session was on why a trust. Well, instead of leaving your $500,000 or your $1 million life insurance policy outright to your surviving spouse, don't they become that much more attractive? Think about it. They just received $1 million tax-free. They become more attractive. And there are sharks out here. So let's protect them from the sharks. So wouldn't it be smarter? Because how many of us, being honest, listeners here on the Professional Edge, have received a check for $1 million that we didn't have to pay tax on? Probably less than 0.5% of our listeners here on the Professional Edge, or any individuals, because those large lump sums of tax-free money don't happen very often. It's maybe once in a lifetime. Somebody's passed away. And it's not $1 million that we're seeing in life insurance. It's like $50,000, $75,000. But let's say you do have this term life insurance policy or this whole life policy or even your group policy at work, and you have $500,000 death benefit, and you have named your surviving spouse and then your kids as the contingent beneficiaries. Well, think about that. That's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. No one has really any concept of what a $500,000 or $1 million is. They immediately think it's $10 million, and they may spend a vast percentage of that because it's, quote, found money. So let's limit that. Or your surviving spouse may not be financially astute, so when they receive this $1 million, they may squander it, not know where to put it. They may put it in a checking account and get 1% interest on it. That would be a tragedy, especially in this rate environment. They can get a far better rate of return holding cash with that money. But we want it to also grow. So that surviving spouse, if they're not financially astute, then let's leave this in trust to them. Okay. So now we're going to have a co-trustee, tax attorney, let's say, or a very trusted friend that is good financially, have a co-trustee on these funds, and then assign a registered investment advisor to these funds. It's $1 million. And let's get some investment recommendations with regard to that, or how much cash we should hold, or should we hold some bonds? Should we have a bond fund, or should we buy individual bond issues? Those are all decisions to be made when these funds are placed in trust. So why would we place this life insurance in a trust? Well, lo and behold, like we talked about in a prior session, these funds are then going to be guaranteed, whatever is left, going to your kids of this first marriage. That's critical, in my opinion, that you're going to protect your bloodline, your family, your children. So if we didn't leave this in trust and the surviving spouse gets this $1 million and they meet Romeo number two, then there is an I love you will, then this $1 million that's sitting in that checking account is going to go to Romeo number two, and your kids will be disinherited on this $1 million. So think about that for a second. You have this $1 million policy, you want it for your surviving spouse, but in the back of your mind, it's also for your kids and grandkids. So the only way you can protect this is to place these proceeds in trust. Allow the surviving spouse to have access to them. And then protect these assets and make sure that they go to your children or grandchildren upon the surviving spouse's passing. The only way you can guarantee that, I know you can look at your spouse and say, hey, I'm going to put you as a primary beneficiary on this life insurance. When I die, you're going to get $1 million. And when you pass away, you're going to leave everything to the kids in equal shares, correct? Yep, they both agree over coffee. That's great. But there's longevity. I'm seeing it happen. Clients are living longer. They're finding their second spouse. And now they're updating their estate planning documents to leave everything to their spouse. This is the new spouse. So the kids are being disinherited. So that's a wake-up call for you, a listener here on the Professional Edge. If you don't want to disinherit your kids, then you definitely need, definitely need, that's a four-syllable word, right? Definitely need to have a trust as a tool within your estate plan. You can have a last will and testament, but you designate the life insurance beneficiary as a trust. That is going to protect these assets to make sure the surviving spouse has access to them. We're not disinheriting them. But then whatever's left is going to be guaranteed to go to your kids. Food for thought. If you want to have that conversation, give our office a call at 877-654-9798. That number again, 877-654-9798. So you're also welcome as a listener here on the Professional Edge. We've combined getting your estate plan in force. That's number one. Number two, to review your portfolio to make sure that you have the proper beneficiary designations, to make sure you have the proper portfolio allocation based on your risk tolerance. And three, we're going to implement some tax planning advice to see what you need to do. And just a recent client that came in, we did their estate plan. We looked at some of their portfolio holdings and they're sitting there. They are not claiming a $3,000 capital loss that all taxpayers are entitled to. And they're sitting there with a substantial loss within their brokerage account. Well, their broker of 20 years has not done anything. He's just sitting there holding this loss. And I said, that makes no financial sense to me whatsoever. Now, we all understand that brokers are not licensed to give tax advice. So he's sitting there with this $30,000 capital loss and no one's doing anything. The broker is obviously not doing their job, because what we should do is actually sell that position, capture the tax loss, and if he wants to hold this position, then buy it back 31 days later. There's a wash sale rule so we can actually recognize that tax loss that we realized, but the broker was not doing anything. So lo and behold, the client comes in. I explain this simple tax strategy, and basically, if he has no other capital gains, he can use $3,000 of his capital loss and roughly a 30% effective tax rate. He's going to save $900. Boom, like that. And he's going to save $900 for the next 10 years on a simple strategy, which the broker was not doing, not looking at. And then, you know, you give this counsel and advice and he goes, well, the broker then says, well, oh, we can take care of that. Well, yeah, you can take care of that now that I pointed it out. That is the difference between being a tax attorney, CPA, certified financial planner, and just working with a 1-800 brokerage firm, you know the names of them, or a just stockbroker that's there not doing their job. They're not adding true value to your overall situation. So that's why working with estate management counselors, you get that benefit of putting these three together. Now, the client then says, not really client, prospect, we end up doing their estate plan and I pointed out this tax saving strategy. He's confused now. The broker says, I'm out of the picture. I could have taken care of this. Well, if you could have taken care of this, then you would have done it years ago. Why are you waiting for me to provide you with the information to implement? Now, the client says, well, we're going to move back to our stockbroker because we've had a long relationship. Well, that's fine. But that long relationship is costing you. You're paying for that relationship. So if you've had a long established relationship and you're not too sure about whether you're getting the counsel and advice integrated on your tax planning and also your estate planning and also your investment portfolio, it's a unique combination that we do at Estate Management Counselors. So if you want that conversation, give our office a call at 877-654-9798. That number again, 877-654-9798. And it, you know, this one recently happened. I wish that client, he's a estate planning client, didn't become an investment advisory client because he was, quote, confused. And I wish him all the best. But there are far more other things that I saw within the portfolio that the stockbroker was doing, asleep the switch, and they can utilize some tax planning in addition to their estate planning and putting money in trust for their kids. It's just, I shake my head and I'm like, okay, go back to where you were. It's your choice. It's your money. You can overpay income taxes. You can subject this estate to the claims of creditors. Do as you wish. Do as, I wish you the best. So that was the conversation that was going on this week. It's pretty incredible to me. So thanks for letting me vent here on the Professional Edge. This is real stuff and we do it each and every day. And some people get it and some people just don't get it. They think that there's some alternative motive. Well, the motive that I have being a registered investment advisor is to act in my client's best interest at all times. That is a duty. It's a duty charged upon me as a tax attorney as well. I have to look out for the client's best interest to protect my client any way I know how. Not evading the law, but using all the planning power that I have being a tax attorney, a CPA, and certified financial planner. So again, if that's the level of relationship and you have a stockbroker that's just sort of, you know, going along and not doing much, or the other thing is another tell that we see is you have one share or 1.5 shares of 75 different companies, separately managed account. That makes no sense to me. And I can point out why that makes no sense to me or and you, and then you get to make a decision. But it's another thing. So I digress on why you need a trust. So let's go back. Let's recap real quick. Why do you need a trust? Number one, it's going to allow you to guarantee that you're not going to disinherit your kids. That's number one. Number two, it's going to guarantee that your surviving spouse, if they do not have financial aptitude, is going to be able to have professionals help them manage this portfolio, manage the money, so they don't get in trouble themselves. Number three, if your children are in a rocky marriage, then you're going to protect these assets for your kids, not the ex-son-in-law or daughter-in-law. And then the final one, we're going to A, be able to protect them from being a spendthrift. So we're going to allow this to set in trust. We can provide a monthly income, a quarterly income. We can have distributions of principal, let's say on their birthday. So who are they going to remember if they get a $10,000 gift every birthday? Well, it's mom and dad. That's who they'll remember. So if that's of importance to you to leave a legacy, give our office a call at 877-654-9798. I appreciate you listening to the Professional Edge. If you think this can help someone, pass along this podcast to someone else, again, on any podcast caster, just look for Professional Edge. My name's Sean Todd. Thanks for listening.
With today's financial markets, are you getting the personal and professional attention you and your money deserve? Clients of estate management counselors benefit from having one set of professionals advise them on their tax, estate planning, and investment advice. We call that the professional edge. Seen Todd is a tax attorney, CPA, and certified financial planner. With over 15 years' experience, he welcomes the opportunity to assist you in preparing for retirement, implement effective tax planning strategies, and to help you properly plan your estate. His radio show, The Professional Edge, is aired weekly on Sundays at 9 a.m. If you're interested in meeting with Scene, call his office at 877-654-9798. That's 877-654-9798. Do you want to feel more confident about making the right investment, tax, and estate planning decisions? Today, these decisions are more complex than ever. Have you thought about working with a professional advisor and not sure who to turn to? Not sure what qualifies one to be an advisor? Seen Todd is more than qualified as a tax attorney, CPA, and certified financial planner. Seen is with Estate Management Counselors. Estate Management Counselors operates as an independent, fee-only investment advisory firm. They're dedicated to gaining a personal understanding of their clients' objectives and implementing professional counsel and advice to achieve those objectives. So take a second to talk with Seen Todd to learn how you can benefit from their multidisciplinary practice, where they coordinate their clients' legal, tax, and investment strategies into one comprehensive and integrated plan to enhance and protect their clients' financial security. You can reach Estate Management Counselors and speak with Seen Todd by calling 1-877-654-9798. That's 1-877-654-9798.